Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and I am officially a loser. This is Gaming Uncensored. And Tommy is sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We got Nintendo going VR, believe it or not. We'll get into that. That'll be fun. We also have another press conference that's not happening at E3. Some details around what they're doing instead. And we've got child zombie to talk about, which I think will be a really interesting discussion point, much like the discussion point from last week with HoloLens. It'll be a little bit controversial. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about. I want to know why you're a loser, though.
Well, because I texted you, and it's getting pretty ridiculous. I texted you early in the week and told you that Path of Exile has all of a sudden, you know, I've been raving about Path of Exile for a while, and all of a sudden, Path of Exile went from Duff and I and Cabbage are cruising right through to you're gonna die. and I've been told that would happen, and it has, and it's fantastic. And I looked at my Steam, and Steam says I got like 65 plus hours. Nice. And I'm on Act 3 of 10. So,
my goodness.
Like I got like, you know, 300 plus 4 hours to go here. And we're just getting started. And apparently they're releasing something else in about 3 days. I don't know if they're adding an act. I don't know if they're adding what they're doing. But they're doing something. This game is huge. And I'm a freaking loser because I might as well be sitting in my parents' basement playing D&D with four guys that'll never get laid.
I mean, that's not far from what you're actually doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a freaking
You're not in a basement.
Loser. No, I'm not. No, I'm
and at
not.
Least one of those dudes is married, and so doing okay. I mean,
yeah.
Look. But about the rest of it, that's fairly accurate.
Yeah, and that really scares the crap out of me. It really is good, dude. I know you don't have time, but it's,
I wish I did so much.
It's really good. Like this is Duff and I were talking. And Duff and I have been talking, you know, a couple times a week pretty regularly because of this game. And, like, he's pissed at me because he's like, dude, what did you get me into? This may be my forever game, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just always there, which World of Warcraft was for us for a long time.
Yeah.
The thing that is mind-blowing to me is we paid for World of Warcraft, and this is free.
Yeah.
Like, I have not put money into it yet. I'm going to because I want a better stash. But the better stash is $20. This is worth way more than $20.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much how much money I'm going to give those guys, but man, it is good.
And I'm glad to hear it. I really wish I had time to play it. I'm jealous of y'all.
Dude, when's that? We got to do something about that. You cannot not play this.
I mean, maybe the summer. That's the window of possibility at this point. But
we love.
I'm gonna be so far behind at that point. You're gonna have to roll new characters for me. But I would love to jump in.
No, I'll tell you what's gonna happen, and this is why I got 65 hours. You roll a new guy, and we'll just go back and power level you. Like, Cabbage picked up like 10 levels in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get you where you need to go.
Sure.
Real quick. That ain't no big deal. But on that, the whole thing is designed for each account to have multiple characters. So if we did roll new characters, that would be very, very doable.
Sure.
So it's really good. And for as much as you and I love Diablo, and Diablo's in the show this week.
It is.
You got to play it. I don't know when, I don't know how, but you got to play it.
That's fair. I'll take that for sure. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything that I've played that's of any interest. I played a little bit of Red Dead. I don't know if you've seen the little bit of Red Dead. So minimal.
I have been saving it because I'm like, okay, you played 20 minutes, and all I'm going to do is watch that and want more. So, like,
I mean, half of it's just the pause screen. So, I mean, it's me trying to play a little bit while I'm working, and it's more working than playing. But I've done a little bit. That game just... Man, it just keeps getting me. Every time I went on another fishing mission, I just love it. And I'm just like, man, this is fantastic.
So. Well, here's speaking of stuff that's not happening, and we'll get to that in a minute. You may think that E3 is dead, and you may be wondering what is happening with E4. And let me tell you, folks, E3 may be dying. E4 ain't going nowhere. E4 is going to be the biggest circus you've ever seen in your life this year. Stuff is coming together. We have no idea how it's all going to work.
It's going to be awesome.
But it's going to be freaking nuts. and I know I always say that, and I know I overstate it, but holy crap, folks. We got a lot of stuff going on for E3. So there's that.
It'll be an interesting week, but we've got plenty to do, and so it'll be a lot of fun. There'll probably be a lot of field trips involved this year, which I'm excited about. So
field trip.
I've thought of another one we need to do that I hadn't even thought about. That'd be fun. So yeah, we've got plenty to do.
Well,
a good time.
I will tell you that Duff has already said that since we're in the Dallas Metro, it would be very dumb of us not to go to a sporting event or a concert or something. Duff and I have now learned that we have a mutual love and respect for the Dave Matthews Band, and so nice. We're actually contemplating the fact, wondering if their summer tour that they always do every stinking year. It's going to be in Dallas in June. It's probably in May. It's normally in May. But we might drag you to a Dave concert.
That'd be a trip.
Yeah.
That'd be nuts. That'd
I don't cool. know how that would work with a baby, but hey.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Figure it out.
We're responsible adults most of the time.
Most of the time.
Anyway.
It's fair. So all that being said, I'm trying to think. I played a little bit of Smash Brothers. It's so good. Haven't touched anything else. It's so sad. I want to play some games so bad at some point.
Dude, I say again, sabbatical.
Yes.
I tell you, I will quit everything. You make that sabbatical happen, and I will tell you right now, I will invent whatever I have to invent to make this thing usable for Visible. Like, if that's what's gonna happen, I will find a way to make it happen. Take the freaking sabbatical and let's go.
Fair enough. Yeah, we were just talking before we fired up the mics that we might actually get to play some games together this week, and that would be a trip.
Yes! So
here's hoping, and you might get some content of us playing a game together, which would be really fun. So
yes!
Yeah, we'll see. All that said, should we talk about some news? We got a lot to talk about today. So
let's do it.
Let's dive in. So let's start with Nintendo getting into VR in the most Nintendo way possible. This is it boggles my mind. So Nintendo is officially bringing VR to the Switch in a way that we kind of knew that they could and maybe eventually would at some point. They officially are by doing Labo VR. It's Labo and it's VR. It is very much like Google Cardboard, which feels like it was decades ago at this point. But Google Cardboard, if you remember, was like a little cardboard kit you could order and fold into a little like VR headset that you slid your phone into, and you could do like VR on your phone, kind of like a Samsung Gear VR or something right, like that, but even lower quality. So Nintendo's doing that. They're doing literally a cardboard version of VR, a cardboard little headset that you fold together like you do with all the other Labo stuff, and then can do some VR stuff with it. So really quickly, details, and then we'll discuss what we think about this. It's coming in three different kits, or you can buy them all together. So there's a starter kit that has just like the what they're calling the VR goggles, which is exactly like Google Cardboard for what I can tell. It's just a cardboard thing you slide the Switch into, literally just slide it in there. And then a blaster that's like a gun that extends off the front of the kind of headset that you apparently play a shooting game with. And then there's a camera one that comes in a different kit, an elephant one that comes in that same kit with the camera. I have no idea what the elephant one is. And then in the other expansion kit, there's a bird one. Also don't know what you're doing with that. And the wind pedal. That it's a pedal that I don't know. The one thing that we're missing at this point that I've been looking for and haven't really found any content about is like, what are these games actually? Like, what are these experiences that you're doing with these? You can kind of guess with like the blaster and the camera, well, you know what those are going to look like. I have no idea like what the elephant one is going to be. Like, it's a big elephant nose extending off the front of it that you put the Joy-Cons in and can move it around. And
you know what I just thought of?
Huh.
I bet Nintendo hasn't. Maybe Nintendo has thought of, you know what would be great on the Switch? Huh. Beyond Good and Evil.
That would be great.
That. Yeah. That's awesome.
That would be cool.
I would like that.
Just, Beyond Good and Evil makes a ton of sense on the Switch. That would be amazing.
That just blew my freaking mind. That's an awesome idea. Hey, Nintendo, awesome. Do that.
Do that. Get with Yubi and make that happen. Yeah. That would be super freaking cool. So all that said, not surprising that Nintendo's doing something VR related, and probably not honestly surprising that they're going about it in this way. Of course, one of the hangups here is that the tech of the Switch, the screen, the resolutions, the refresh rates, all that kind of stuff is way lower than, you know, what we think of with especially like a Vive or an Oculus or really even like PlayStation VR. And so it's going to be not the same level of immersion, not the same level of quality. There's no head strap to this. It's not something you wear. It's something you just hold in front of your face. And so that takes some of the immersion away from it in that you always have to have one hand dedicated to holding the thing, if not both hands on it for some of them. But they're giving you kind of peripherals with that. And so like the blaster has like a trigger thing that has one of the Joy-Cons in it, or the elephant one, you hold the nose of the elephant and move it around. And so there is an interactive function to this, obviously. But it's not going to be anywhere near the same immersion that you get with the Vive or something else. Obviously, the full kit that comes with everything that I mentioned is $80. The starter kit is $40, and then those two expansions are $20 each. So grand total of $80 for the whole experience. I don't know if it's brilliant, and I'm really excited because it's a way to get more people into the VR space, which I think is ultimately a good thing for VR, or if it's a ridiculous Nintendo thing that's going to water down the VR experience for everybody else.
Well, I'm going to repeat what we said when we put together the Labo. the level is great tech and would be insanely fun if you have kids, which you do now. She's not quite old enough, but that's going to be a lot of fun when we get older. Right now, for two 30-plus, one of us almost 40, you old men to be, you know, messing around with Labo, it's cool tech, but that's pretty much it. Like, yeah, whatever the games end up being, they're not going to be something that we go, wow, you have to have this. This is for this. This is another Labo kit that is for an adult to use with their kids.
Yeah.
And if you keep that in mind, I think it's going to be great. I think legit Nintendo VR is coming with whatever the next thing is. Whether that's an upgraded Switch or what that is, I don't know. But I truly believe that legit Nintendo VR is coming with that. And this is just something to play around with.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And that raises an interesting question that just popped into my head while you were talking about that. So all this Labo, specifically this Labo thing, the other ones too, because it matters, but this one specifically is being built for the current Switch and the current size it is. Like, this is very dependent on the size of the Switch. Now, maybe they release like an adapter that you can put a new smaller Switch into to make it fit with the Labo stuff or whatever. But it leads me to think maybe they aren't doing a smaller Switch after all. And maybe what they'll do is have one that's the same size, maybe a little slimmer, you know, a little sleeker version of it that's a better display. That's just, you know, maybe not like a graphic processor update, but just a display update that makes the actual display on the thing higher quality, because that's something that it'll need to do more legit VR, that it just at this point doesn't have the capabilities to do even, again, a PlayStation VR kind of level, which is kind of the mid-level of VR. It's not the high-end Oculus or HTC Vive experience, but it's better than a Google Cardboard, obviously, or even like a Samsung Gear VR or Google Daydream or something like that.
Right, so, and I think the thing with this is, and I was about to comment when you started the story that we really need a PSVR, but with this only being $80, we can do this and that.
Right.
I really feel like that the PSVR is something that is trying to get the average user in and get, because let's be honest, we don't have one. You have tried it, very limited, but you've tried it. Yes. I honestly believe the PSVR is what's going to draw people in more than anything.
I would agree with that, except for the fact that the PSVR has already been out for so long, relatively speaking, with VR. Nothing in VR has been out so long. But I figure it's fairly saturated at this point until there's a significant price cut on it, until it gets a lot more accessible just from a price standpoint. And that's why I'm wondering if this is kind of that stepping stone. If, like, Sony is sitting back right now going, thank you, Nintendo, because people are going to get a taste of what VR can do, but they're going to want more. And the next logical step, especially for a console person, is to go to PlayStation VR. It's cheaper than going for the HTC Vive. You probably already got a PlayStation 4 in your house. If not, they're not terribly expensive anymore. Definitely a lot cheaper than a high-end PC. And so Sony may be right now going, oh, this is the best thing that could happen for PlayStation VR, is we've got the Nintendo providing VR as kind of a gateway drug for them, you know. And so I don't know. I'm all for whatever makes VR continue to grow, because I love the tech and I want to see more of it.
Yeah, and I like I said, and this applies to everything Nintendo. We may not want to play it all, but you can't argue that it's not fantastic tech. And that's what the Labo is fantastic tech.
Yeah.
It's like, I would have before we put it together, I would have never thought that that would have been possible to build something and then use it. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And honestly, and we did this with the Labo when we put it together last year at E3. Like, if you have some fun games, and this is the thing I think Nintendo's really trying to do with this design, where it's not a headset. The thing is you get, you know, your kid or a couple of buddies around or whatever, and you just pass the thing around. You know, like, it turns into VR as a social experience, which I think is actually a really, really good use of VR. Some of the most fun times I've had with VR is when I get to tell somebody, like my in-laws, you know, put this on your face, you know, and I want to watch your reaction to this, you know. Like, that's a really, really fun element of VR, and this is set up to do that really well. Whereas the Vive and Oculus and even PlayStation VR, it's not hard, but this is much easier to just pass and play. The whole thing is mobile. There's no cords involved here at all, which is really nice. And so, again, if it's that gateway drug that can get VR people into VR and keep it going, I think it's cool. And $80, you're right. Like, we got to get one and just play with it just to see. Unless it's like terribly unplayable because of the screen. And that's the one thing I'm waiting for. It's like, okay, I need somebody to actually get one of these things and put it together who's done other VR and be able to tell me, like, yeah, this is doable. Don't expect it to be HTC Vive quality VR, but it's, you know, it's fun, it's interesting, and it's Nintendo. And so we're not going for, you know, realism in your graphics. We're not looking for crazy, like, lighting effects, which is something that's super cool in VR but takes a lot of power. Like, that's not what Nintendo does. These are going to be simple games that could be a lot of fun, and honestly, some of the most fun games I've played in VR are much more cartoonish, simple graphics, because you can do more interesting things with them. And so if they can pull that off, I think they've got a winner.
Everything with Nintendo, it's like, I don't even doubt it at this point.
Right.
If they want to do it, yeah, go for it. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Because it's probably going to end up being good regardless of what we say.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that. One more bit of VR news, just because it ties into the VR thing. Valve, obviously a big player in the VR space at this point, just laid off 13 employees that were specifically working on the virtual reality side of things at Valve. Now, Valve has said that this doesn't change anything that they're doing with Steam VR, that all their plans are going forward are the same, but this is just a reality of the business and unfortunate reality, and on and on, and I get that. One of the things I didn't know about this until I read the story is that HTC's newer headsets don't use the Steam VR tracking anymore. And so the first Vive headset, HTC and Valve worked together on that, but apparently they're not working as closely together anymore. And so that kind of explains why, at least in part, they wouldn't need as much VR support. But the other thing is, there's been rumors for a long time that Steam was working on their, or Valve was working on their own headset. And this seems to either put a damper on that possibility or outright say that's not happening. You wouldn't think they'd be laying off people if they're working on hardware in this case, and they're focusing more on software.
And here's the deal on something I never really thought about it. But I am involved with several projects that don't make money, right? And they need to make money. I have a couple of jobs that I'm paid very, very well to do. One of them being the Second Life thing, that I would really like it if it made money, but it doesn't. And so you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, how much money and time and resources am I going to throw into this with it not making money? And the thing that scares me about VR at this point, whether it's Vive or Oculus or whatever, neither one of them are making a lot of money. And so when I read this story, I was, you know, it's sad to hear that 13 people have lost their jobs. But I think we're going to see more of this, because you can talk about investments with Facebook or whatever all you want, But as far as the consumer side of this, I don't think any of this is making money right now. And it may not for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So at some point, you're looking at it going, is it viable for me to continue to pay X amount of people to do this? Or can I get by with this many fewer people?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so I think we are. I think we're going to see more of this.
I think you're probably right. And you brought up the fact that Oculus has Facebook behind them, and Facebook's one of the largest companies in the world. HTC is a big, big company that does a whole lot more than the Vive, and so there's a lot more resources there than somebody like Valve has. Even though they're really specialized in this field, they just don't have the resources that, you know, Facebook can drop into Oculus for a long time until, you know, it either becomes a money-making venture or until VR fizzles out and they don't care about it anymore. It's the reality of the business, and when you have the high-end VR experience costing you from scratch well over $1,000-$1,500 entry at the high end, it's going to be hard to sustain that. And so that's, again, why something like what Nintendo's doing is so important for the future of VR, is because there's got to be something that makes it accessible to people who aren't nerds like us and already have PCs that can do this and are willing to fork out that cash to make it happen.
Well, let's face it, we have what we still wouldn't have one.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't for Duff.
100%.
Like if Duff is not here, we don't have headsets in our house.
Yeah.
Like, we have a headset apiece in each of our houses because of that guy.
Yeah.
And we're still, if he's not here, we're 2 years down the road and we still don't have one.
100%.
So that's how... That's how inaccessible this stuff is right now.
Yeah. Yep. You're absolutely right. So moving on from that into some E3 news, we have yet another company that is not going to have a traditional press conference this year. Of course, we've already talked about Sony. Still expecting Microsoft to. Nintendo hasn't for a long time. EA has now officially joined those ranks. EA is still doing their EA Play event. This is apparently the fourth year that they've done it. It is going to run this year from the Friday night before E3 and run for, I think, 3 days, 2 or 3 days, probably through Sunday or something like that. And they're not going to do a traditional press conference around that. Instead, they're going to have, quote, multiple live streams during the first two days of the event. And then the last day is going to be like the booth day that people could come in at the actual facility and get hands on with the games and all that kind of stuff. And so they're going to have 2 days of floor shows, demos, and that kind of stuff, but no traditional press conference from EA this year. Thoughts, my friend?
Look, I've said it over and over and over again, and Chad makes fun of me every time, but I gotta find a house in your neighborhood, because the way that things are moving, and I said it last show and probably the show before, this show, if we're not careful, is going to become a 24/7 type deal. Because as we're scheduled right now, I'm planning to get to Dallas for E3 Saturday night. You will not be in town Saturday night. You will be coming home from something else. I'm planning to get to the hotel Saturday night, be around for Sunday when you get there, and that's the very end of this deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've missed 3 days of this thing, and Sony's not going to be around, and there's no Nintendo, and that leaves Microsoft, Bethesda, and the PC show. That's it. And so, trust us, ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier, E3, E4 for us is going to be insane because of the things that we have somehow weirdly plugged into it. But if it was just us doing our normal thing, I think we'd be doing a whole lot more drinking and a whole lot more playing games. Because I don't know if there's going to be a lot there. And I feel like in the future, again, I think we're going to have to be a whole lot more flexible about how we cover this stuff.
Yeah. And I think there's a good chance that what E3 is in the process of morphing to something that's a lot more looking like what EA is planning to do this year, and that it becomes less about press conferences and more about these fan events and that kind of stuff. And honestly, the EA press conference from last year wasn't that great. You know, no. Like it just kind of fell flat. It just was awkward at times, and there's been a shift in how these companies do their press conferences from back in the day when we fell in love with E3, that it was all the pomp and circumstance around this, that there's just these massive hype machines and everything else, to the point that like we've grown out of that, and so have a lot of other people, that kind of came into the loving gaming at the same time, to where we kind of want a different experience. Now, you and I still love the press conferences and enjoy those every year, but we also enjoy, digging at EA when they have a crappy press conference. That's not very, very beneficial for EA. It's fun for us. But this is honestly, probably going to give us more content that's probably a lot better done that we can talk about more without the, who was the celebrity that was super awkward and who was, what awkward marching band comes up. Ubisoft, as far as I know, is still doing a press conference, so we still probably will get an awkward marching band coming out, to be honest with you, which was actually a pretty cool part of last year's show. But that being said, this actually could turn into, just strictly gaming a lot more interesting and a lot more fun, and not having the MC from last year go out and briefly chat with dude from Red Spawn about a Star Wars game and then go to something else, that just leaves you really flat. You can't just do that in not a press conference, that doesn't get any traction. You got to have something to go along with your video content that you're putting out otherwise. And so it should avoid awkwardness like that and give us better content about the games that we care about.
Theoretically. It will for those that stream a bunch of stuff, which that's where people go to YouTube, they go to Twitch, they go, I know guys that I work with that watch YouTube content and YouTube shows religiously, and I think that some of this stuff is being built to cater to that. Hey, we're going to do streaming events. This is for you. And if you want to watch it, here it is. And I think, like I said, the hardest thing is going to be for guys like you and me that need the flexibility to, this is happening here, so I need to be available so that we can cover that. It's not in that condensed space of 3 days where we can say, this is E3 and this is what we're doing. I think it's going to be much more a 24/7 kind of thing moving forward, like I said.
Yeah, and that's more of the argument of why traditionally what we think of as E3 is probably going away. It's going to take it a little bit to go away, but I think, the heyday of E3 is behind us at this point. And it's fine. It changes, and that's fine. You and I love it because it's this big event, but ultimately for the gaming industry, it's a little bit of a dinosaur at this point.
Yeah.
So we'll still be talking about everything, and we'll have a good time talking about it, so don't worry there. One of the things we'll probably be talking about, probably before E3 if the rumors are true here, is a new Xbox One SKU that is called the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. The rumor here that this is supposed to be pre-orders available next month is that Microsoft is making an Xbox Sans disk drive, that we will have a diskless console from one of the major manufacturers for, well, a media-free console. I guess the Switch doesn't have disks. But we'll have a media-free console for the first time in modern history. And that'll be an interesting experiment on the digital distribution system of gaming.
You know, I think it's interesting that Microsoft chooses to do this, because in this generation, at least, and we talked about it at length, they're behind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they may have decided, we're behind, we're not going to catch up. This is a fabulous time to just try something and see how it works. And I think that's the only way that you can afford to do this. Because I think people like you that have fiber in your house, that it's got a gig both ways, are going to go crazy for this thing. My thing is you've got 8 zillion other Xbox SKUs that nobody's buying, right? So why do I need this?
Yeah, the big question for me on it is, what's the price going to be? Because obviously removing the disk drive should bring down production costs fairly substantially, you know, like that should be a decent hit on what it costs to make the thing. And so if you pass that on to the consumer and you make this thing fairly cheap, that might be what gets me to buy an Xbox at this point, you know, like, there's enough games that I would like to play on the Xbox One. None of them have made me go out and spend the money on an Xbox One yet. But if you make the Xbox One cheaper, it makes it a little easier to go out and spend the money on it.
If it's cheaper, and then you can take that money that you've saved and pay for Game Pass.
Absolutely.
That's a no-brainer.
Which is going to be digital anyway. And so, yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense. And, I mean, on the PlayStation 4, I purchased 2 games recently, relatively, as recently as I purchased games. But God of War and Red Dead, I bought both digital editions. I didn't fuss with a disc or anything. I've got fast enough internet. Now, obviously, not everybody has fast enough internet. But I've got fast enough internet. I'm going to jump ahead of story. So if you're following along in the show notes, we'll come back to to the story in between these two. But I didn't realize that this tied in so well. But it does. Because that whole internet speed thing may be a moot point. Because even if you buy games physically, this is the Division 2, which is a big deal. If you buy the physical version of the Division 2, you can, quote, this is from the actual website, Ubi, you can, quote, expect a 48 to 52 gig download, depending on your region and preferred language. That's with the disc. You've also, on top of the disc that you stick into your system, it still have to install the game from the disc. It's not running off the disc. You got to install it from the disc. And then you have to have a patch that's 52 gigs. At that point, like, the whole thing, apparently, the whole install size is going to be around 100 gigs, which is nuts in the first place. But at that point, like, you're already having to dedicate downloading 50 gigs. Why not dedicate to downloading 70 or 80 gigs or whatever else and avoid the disc altogether?
Can we go down a rabbit hole for a second?
Sure.
Because I'm about to go down a wicked rabbit hole. I don't know if you've seen the news about a game called Atlas, which is a new game from the same guys that did, what's the name of that thing? Survival game where it's you and a whole bunch of dinosaurs. What's the name of that thing? I just blanked.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
But Atlas is a brand new game, and it's apparently huge. Like, it's a large, large game. It's good, but it's large. And when you are making these games so big that they take up massive parts of a hard drive, if we're looking at 100 gig download and you've got a terabyte drive, which most people have got a terabyte drive, that's a tenth of your drive.
Yeah.
For one game. And you might think that, you know, drive space is easily accessible and cheap and all that, and I guess it is, but at the shop, we're selling 2 terabyte drives for $100. Like, it's accessible, but it ain't that accessible. I mean, it's not like you can go out and get a hard drive for $10.
Yeah.
And so, at what point do you think that this becomes a problem? Because the other side of this is that you can have these big drives, but the big drives are slow. And you really need to be putting solid-state drives in these machines, but can you afford to put a big enough solid-state drive in it, especially one that is diskless, to make it worth it?
Yeah. It's a good question. Ark, by the way, I just looked him up on Steam.
Ark,
by
the way. That's it. Yes.
That other game. Yeah, it's a good question that I think probably won't matter soon. that we always have this question about, you know, storage space and cost and games increasing, and then it all just evens out. And I think it'll probably all even out soon. I'm looking on Amazon right now. I was trying to see how much a so here's a 2 terabyte SATA SSD for $290, which is still a lot. But it's not what it was. Here's a 4 terabyte for $550, which is a lot, but it's not what it was. And so it's getting better, and you could get a 4 terabyte hard drive
for not much.
Here's 72 RPM, 470, which seems decent, you know. Like, and you're probably going to be able to run whatever you want off of a 7200 RPM drive at this point, I would think. I don't know. That's a good question. I really like solid state drives. I'm not going to go buy a disk drive anytime soon. And I struggle with drive space constantly. I'm in perpetual storage management mode on my PC, on my PlayStation 4, on my Switch. Like, it's just the reality of where we're at. But to me, that's just uninstalling games that I'm not playing at the time and reinstalling them later, which, because I have fast internet, it's easy to do.
Yeah.
Again, if you don't have fast internet, like, part of my ability to drive manage as much as I do is the fact that if I want to re-download something, even if it's huge, it's not going to take me a ton of time to get that game back. And so if I need space, I just go, oh, I haven't played this in, you know, 6 months. I'll just uninstall it for now and reinstall it when I want to play it back. Cloud saves cover everything. I don't ever have to worry about my saves not being there. And so, yeah. It is what it is, but I don't think it's probably going to be enough that people revolt.
Well, I don't know if they're going to revolt, but I guess what I'm asking is, from a company standpoint, how much money do you expect people to spend to be able to play your stuff?
Yeah.
Like, we just spent a half hour talking about VR and the price point that's at. If you're going to do discless consoles like we know that we're going to, they got to be cheap.
Yeah.
Like, they got, and I'm talking about cheap. I'm talking, you know.
And they have to come with big drives.
Yes.
Like, you can't put it out with a 500 gig hard drive.
I mean, if I'm paying let's say this Microsoft thing is $150, which even in my mind now is too much for because you got no discharge. If it's 150, it better have a freaking massive drive in it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not paying 150 for a diskless machine and a 500 gig drive. I'm just not.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of making that happen, and a big part going into the future. And eventually we're going to hit the point where it doesn't matter anymore because we're going to be streaming so much content. And then the drive space necessary is just going to fall off a cliff, very much like the need for a disk drive in a console right now is becoming dated. The need for a hard drive in a console, not yet, but in the next 5 or 10 years is going to be fairly unnecessary. We'll still need some storage space locally, obviously, but not nearly as much as we need now. That'll go away. We're just not there yet, and so we got to struggle through for a while.
You got to think that there's some alien civilization somewhere that just looks down at us and goes, stupid humans.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just dumb. Can they not just figure it out?
Yeah. I'm glad we entertain them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just watching us. Like, it's like the Truman Show all the time. That they're just like, God, those guys are stupid.
Yeah. And that's,
yeah.
Which, by the way, did you read that Washington Post story? Not to completely go off the rails, but did you read that?
What? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy, there's apparently a very legit columnist that is actively telling people aliens are here. Like, there's on this planet somewhere.
Interesting.
A spaceship. That nobody knows that it's actually there. Like, they're just here hanging out and nobody's aware. And this dude is a legit astrophysicist. Like, this guy is top of his field kind of a thing. Google that. But he's saying they're here and they have been here. And they're walking around, and we're too stupid to know it.
It's like Men in Black in real life.
Yeah. And
Cool.
You really, seriously, Google that, because it's kind of mind-bending.
I will check that out.
But
really quickly, because we got some stuff yet to get through, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, which we're not going to get through. By the way, almost forgot, Patreon guys over at gaminguncensored.com, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and Chris. Thank you guys, as always, for your support. We've got exciting stuff coming. If you want to support us on Patreon as well, you can do that. Go to gaminguncensored.com and click that Become a Patron link right there at the top. While you're there, to check out the show notes.
Yes. Or you can also sponsor this show. If you would like to sponsor this show, if you have a company, if you have a business, and you would like us to hawk your crap.
Absolutely.
And we will do that. We don't really care what it is.
Mattresses,
We will definitely talk about your stuff. Just get us some free stuff.
Yes.
And give us some money. And we will definitely talk about your stuff. So if you have a business, please email us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We would love to talk your stuff.
100% true. Really quickly, a couple other things that I want to squeeze in this one because I teased it earlier. So Days Gone is coming, and the hype around Days Gone, I feel like, has shifted a little bit because there's been some behind closed doors gameplay happened for some industry insider people, some press, and it sounds like people are kind of digging it, which for a while it felt like it was kind of going to fall pretty flat. But one of the new little bits that's come out of that is that there's a class of zombies in the game that they call newts, which are zombie children. They're enemies that were once kids. Now they're zombies, but you got to kill them. And it brings up a really interesting thought and something that hasn't really been explored. Like, I can't think of in The Walking Dead where there's been many zombie kids.
There have been. They're there, and they died. I mean, Sophia was one.
Yes.
In the show. There's been a couple more. There were twins that were ones.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this year, so I haven't watched this season. So I have no clue, but they've been in there.
They have, but it's not something you see in, like, the hordes. It's there, you know, a few storyline elements here and there to kind of drive home a point. But there's not kind of, there's just merciless slaughtering of zombies in The Walking Dead, you know, that's just gory and grotesque and over the top. But they've avoided, like, having a lot of kids be a part of those hordes. And if you think about the reality of a zombie apocalypse, which is already absurd to say, but if it did happen, there's going to be a lot of kids that are a part of that. Like, there's a lot of kids on the planet. And so it's just, like, by default, going to be children that would be a part of that zombie horde, unless, like, the zombie virus doesn't, like, affect children. They just die or whatever. I don't know. You got to figure that out somehow. So Days Gone has created an enemy out of them called newts that are, like, they're smaller and less powerful, but they, like, stay in groups, and apparently, like, they hide out on, like, the top of a roof until your health gets low, and then they kind of, like, swarm you, and you have to fight them off or whatever. And so somebody who actually played the game, this is a story from Polygon, said, like, it made me feel queasy having to kill, like, what's obviously children, now zombie children that are trying to kill you and whatever. And so, yeah, it's a weird thing. It's not like it's completely untouched territory in the world of gaming. It's still, like, it feels a little weird. I'm interested to see how much they try to dehumanize them to try to take away that discomfort of killing children, zombie children.
I mean, part of the reason you and I are stumbling is because it's icky to even really talk about it.
Yes.
There's not much on this show that we're afraid to talk about, but you have a child and I have nieces, and like there are things that we might have thought when we were younger weren't really a big deal, and now they're a bigger deal because of that. Like, yeah. I have pictures of my nieces and your daughter staring me in the face, and this story makes me uncomfortable because of that.
Yes.
And if you are a gaming company, let's be clear, we wouldn't have cared when we were 15. And most of the kids that are playing this game aren't gonna care. As an adult, I kind of care. You're right, it's gonna be greatly dependent on how they go about it, but you know, we'll just have to see how that goes, because it may be something that I'm not gonna speak for you. But if it's something that happens on a regular basis, if it's an integral part of what happens in this game, and it's repetitive, like, I don't know how much I'm going to want to play that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And it's obviously it's all about execution here and what it feels like. I'm interested to see if, like, this remains a part of the game after, like, they get more feedback from more people from outside the their kind of inner circle playing the game, going, ooh, that kind of made me feel weird. You know, like, they might go, oh, well, we got to figure out a different way. So their response to this whole thing is that, so one of the writers, a guy named John Garvin, said it's not about how old they are. It's about how the virus has to affect everybody. It affects everybody in horrible ways. The storyline of the newts is not gratuitous. It's connected to the story in a super important way. And so, like, they're already looking to figure out how to justify that. And that's good. Like, you need to. Like, you can't make it gratuitous. You can't just have, like, here, go shoot up a bunch of kids that are zombies, because, like, they're still in your head, like, kids, even though they're zombies. Like, that's tough. It's, yeah. And so maybe they pull it off. It's not going to stop me from playing the game at this point, but no. Like, if everybody comes out and says that's really gross, like, it feels icky, like, I probably will avoid it too. Not and that's not necessarily saying that other people shouldn't go play the game and that I have even any problem necessarily about this content in the game. But it's much more about the fact that I just wouldn't want to do that. Like, it would not be fun. It would not be an enjoyable experience, even in, like, and I say not be fun, and we've talked about this with games a lot. Like, we enjoy playing games that are not fun sometimes, that are, like, heavy, and playing, like, this War of Mine that we talked about so much, or playing even The Last of Us, which is zombies and kind of similar in that vein, that's, like, at times gut-wrenching and hard and, like, devastating, and you know, like, I appreciate that in games and want that experience in games. But you got to make it that and not gratuitous. Again, he used that word. I keep coming back to it. It seems like a good word. I will mention, there's another story this week that I didn't include in the show because it would be even worse to talk about. That's a game. Now mention it. So now we're at least talking about it tangentially, but it's not in the show notes. It's not something we're going to spend a ton of time on. But a game that was supposed to come out on Steam that apparently, and I think good, is not coming out on Steam now. That's like a rape simulator. Then that's a, yeah, yeah, no.
Let's not do that. No.
Let's not do that. And this is not that. That's the point I wanted to make by bringing that up. Like, this feels icky and could be rough or whatever. It's not that. That is, yeah. I'm glad Steve's not putting it out.
Look, we're in a different place now, today, than we were 10 years ago. If we're having this discussion 10 years ago, I would hope that it went the same way, but I don't know that because we both have kids in our lives, and I think we both, this doesn't just apply to games, it applies to politics, it applies to everything. Because we have kids, it changes the way that we view some things. And so for a lot of people, this is not going to bother them. And I understand that. And that's all good. But when you have a kid in your house, it changes everything. And we've said that over and over since we went to an hour on this show. Your daughter has literally changed everything.
Yeah.
Like, she's in the other room napping. You texted me like 2 hours ago and was like, dude, you got that for sure today? And not, I would not have been nearly as flexible about dropping what I'm doing and doing this if not for her. Sure. Like, we gotta work this stuff around her. And so she colors everything, and so I'm not gonna be up in arms if somebody comes out and says, this is not a big deal for me because I don't have kids.
Yeah. Or even if you do, I mean, right. Like, if you have kids and you dig it, whatever, like, great, that's fine too. It's just very much a personal thing that it's, I think I speak for both of us on this. It's just going to be about execution. Like, how do they pull it off? Do they make it something that is an interesting story element in the game that isn't just killing kids? Because if it just feels like killing kids, it's probably not going to be something we're into. So.
Yeah.
I'll mention a couple other really quick things before we finish up again. Show notes at GamingUncensored.com. There's an Octopath Traveler prequel coming for mobile devices, and I think that's awesome. I'm really excited about that. I still need to play that game of the mini that I need to play. But it's such a pretty game. It is also shipped 1.5 million units globally at this point, which is really impressive for like a throwback sprite based JRPG. Like, that's a fairly small user base at this point, I would think, and they've shipped 1.5 million units, so good for them on that. PS4 Remote Play is finally on iOS devices. Has been on Android devices for, I want to say, years now. For a long time, they haven't had the Remote Play function on iPhone or iPad. It is now officially on iPhone and iPad, if that's something you care about. Just even the ability to access your PlayStation 4 remotely to, you know, catch up on social things on there, which apparently there are. I don't know. I don't do any of that. But if you wanted to do that or check out your store, get something downloaded while you're at work, you can do all that now from your iPhone or your iPad, which is pretty cool. And game releases, I'll mention the one that I think really matters this week. Devil May Cry is officially here as of yesterday and getting pretty decent reviews. 86, 87, 80, what is it on the PC? 89 on the PC. And so high 80s between platforms and PC for Devil May Cry 5, which is awesome. I'm pumped about playing that someday.
Sabbatical, dude. Sabbatical. Yeah.
You are not wrong.
I'm just saying, like, I will quit everything and come live down the street.
There you go.
We
will play some games.
I don't know how that's gonna happen, but that's what would happen. Which, by the way, if you haven't considered being involved with this show, we got every time we talked about the Patreon guys. That's not just about money. I know we've got lots of guys out there that we don't ever hear from. And I know this because I see the bandwidth that we go through on this show. If you're listening to us out there, and I know that there are several of you that are, and you have never said anything, drop by the Facebook page, drop by the Patreon, drop by the Twitter, and let us know you're out there, because I know you guys are, and there's a bunch of you that just don't say anything. We'd love for you to be involved. All the guys that we talk about on the show all the time have been around forever, and they're loud, and they're obnoxious, and we know we've got a ton of other guys listening. If you haven't gotten involved, please come get involved with us. Because you guys are why we do this.
100%. So
definitely do that. We've got the Facebook. We've got the Twitter. We've got all that jazz. We've got the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
We will play a segment, although we haven't in a while. Yes, yeah. Brigham, we know your segment's in the queue. Let's be honest, dude. Your segment's 15 minutes long. And we're saving it for when we've got nothing.
It's really entertaining. Yeah. It's a good one. So we will play it. We'll get to it. We promise.
Yes. And if you want to submit a segment, that is something we highly encourage you to do. Definitely do that. If you would like to do it the old-fashioned way, it's gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Just email the sucker. It works. We promise. And we will get that on the air. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, for now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy, and it's another week of Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.